everyone. This is Liz Easton, and I wanted to take a quick second to invite you to listen in to the PC Book Club. Wait, I need to start again. Hi, everyone. This is Liz Easton, and I wanted to take a quick second to invite you to listen to the PC Book Club, aka PCBC. Every so often, Ricardo Avila and I chat about the books that you should be reading right now. It's just like sitting on your own private book club discussion, only there's probably slightly more references to true crime and Charles Dickens. I did not write this.
We may have to re-record that anyway, because I think you just said it's just like sitting on your own private book club.
She did. That was great. Sitting on a book club. Sitting on a private book club. That's pretty racy. Sorry.
Should I try again? It's just like sitting in on your own private book club discussion, only there's probably slightly more references to true crime and Charles Dickens. So if you're looking for the class with an occasional dose of the sass, then check out the PC Book Club right here on the Poppin' Callers feed. Class and sass.
Love it. I was praying to the Lord for some fun. We built this city on rock and roll. Built this city. We built this city on rock and roll. Hey everybody, I'm Greg.
And I'm Ricardo.
And this is the new and improved PC Music Diary, a Poppin' Callers side project where Ricardo and I challenge ourselves to produce our personal musical top five lists around a common theme. This month, we're tackling the challenge of picking our top five songs that feature American cities or locations. What a topic.
What a topic. It's everyone's secret favorite topic.
Okay, I'm going to start you off with this one, Ricardo. What comes to mind when you think of, like, city songs?
Well, I have five I've chosen.
Well, I mean, do you have, like, do you think of, like, a particular style of music? Do you think of a particular, like, does a particular song immediately come to mind?
Yes, my first choice immediately comes to mind, and I think in a way it's almost whatever that word is. It's like the epitome of an American city song, because it's got this expansiveness to it. It's about, like, opportunity and what's the future going to hold for me? So that's what I think with cities. I think bustle, or I think like hopes and dreams and such.
Yeah.
What about you, Greg? What do you think about with
cities? So I will tell you exactly immediately, like as soon as we were talking about this topic, the song Kansas City jumped into my mind. You know, I'm going to Kansas City, here I come. You know that song?
A little bit, yeah.
Like, that was the song that immediately jumped to mind, and it made me think that when I think of American city songs or place songs, like, my brain thinks blues. I'm immediately, like, all the songs that sort of jump to mind are, like, blues riffs and blues songs and things that you would think of from, like, New Orleans up, you know, up the Mississippi kind of things.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting, Greg, because oddly enough, I think differently when it comes to if I think about an American city song, it's a different vibe than when I think about, like, America in general.
Hmm.
Like, two of the songs I've chosen are more about areas. And you're right. It's sort of that sense of Americana or folk or like myths and tales of, you know, things that happened in this place. And so it's a little more mystical, whereas for me, the cities, I actually hadn't thought about this till you asked. The cities are more about, like, okay, what's going to happen with me in this place?
Yeah. You know,
what's going to be my relationship to this city? Whereas Americana is more like general, or, you know, areas of the country. But interesting.
Yeah. When I was moving my friend Uli from San Francisco to North Carolina, we were driving through Winslow, Arizona.
Yeah.
And we saw the exit, and we turned off at the exit, and we were just going to grab like a really quick picture standing on a corner, right? So that we could have the take it easy Eagles picture, right? And we were at this sort of like, we were at this intersection right off of the exit, and I had jumped out of the car and he had taken a picture of me, and he was jumping out of the car and I was going to take a picture of him, and a cop pulled up and turned on his lights right beside us. And I was like, oh my God, have we done something illegal? Does it turn out that it's actually illegal to take a picture standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona? But no, the cop wanted to tell us that if we drove a little bit further into town, there's a statue that we can take our picture that's dedicated to the Eagles song.
Wow. They take it. I mean, he flashed his cop car lights to give you that information. They must love that song there.
I think so. I think they're part cop, part tourism board.
You know? That's right. Well, I mean, there's not a lot of crime in Winslow, Arizona, which is a good thing.
That's yeah. Right.
So, Greg, I now have two things to say. This is what happens. I thought we were just going to get to our songs, but now I have two things to say.
Okay. All right.
So I went to a wedding in Nashville, and I remember, I guess I did have Spotify. I remember like I did a search on like songs about Tennessee or Nashville so that I made a little mix.
Yeah.
And there was a song that I discovered and I'd never known before from that mix that I still sometimes listen to today. It's called Nashville by David Mead, maybe. And whenever I hear it, I think of that, you know, 3 days I spent in Nashville, because I helped out with doing this wedding. But, you know, I when I hear that song now, I think of that whole, because I didn't really know anybody. So I had a few days just to kind of bop around on my own.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to like the hot wings or the hot chicken Nashville place.
Oh,
restaurant.
Yeah.
That famous place over there that has like the soul food or whatever. It was so fun. And I played that song a lot. And it was like this wistful time. And then I hear the song Nashville today, and I just sort of get happy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah.
There was some freedom to that, those 3 days. The second thing I want to say is, speaking of the Eagles, I was driving, not cross country, but in Southern California somewhere. And I was going through desert. And I remember I thought, you know, I should play the Eagles right now, because I'm in Southern California. And there was something about it. It was perfect.
Yeah.
Like, I got a peaceful, easy feeling, and you're looking out and there's like deserty stuff going on. And it just, I think there are certain songs that go with places,
mm-hmm.
you know, or certain kinds of songs. Well, so
what's that America song? You know, a horse with no name. If you drive through a desert, you know, while that song's playing, it has like that kind of quality to it where you're like, okay, this song makes sense in this context. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Okay. So let's get into our top five city. I said city songs, but I guess it doesn't have to be a city. Like, it can just be like a location, American location song.
I will tell you. Yeah. Mine are not all cities.
Yeah. So do you want to kick us off or do you want me to?
Well, I will kick us off, but I do have something I want to say. This is my theory of songs with place names. For the most part, not 100%. Whenever someone writes a song about a place, mm-hmm. The place is either really meant to be a backdrop for something they're going through in their lives, and somehow the interaction between whatever they're going through and that place gives it more meaning. Or it's almost like we've got this subconscious thing in common where we all know if you hear New York, then you get a certain feel about it, so that the story in the song has more resonance because it takes place in New York. You know, I'm lonely in New York City, walking the streets is different than I'm lonely walking the streets of Winslow, Arizona.
Right. Yes.
And it means different things, like I'm failing. I'm not making it in this big town. And I thought I had all these dreams. And, you know, so I really, I I find that that's true. So almost like the place in the song is a character. And
and sometimes it can sort of hearken to different things because there's that melancholy side, but then there's like the triumphalism of New York that comes from like, you know, Sinatra or something like that, where it's like where it's like a celebration of the town and the largeness of the town. And there's a way that people tap into that too, you know. Like I think Viva Las Vegas is a perfect example where it's like the song feels like the town, you know, just the way that it's fast and confusing, you know, but sort of jubilant. Yeah. It has a little bit of those aspects to it too.
So that's my theory. Okay. I'll start. My first song is the very first song I thought of when we thought of this topic. It's Chicago by Sufjan Stevens.
All things go, drove to Chicago, all things know, we sold our clothes to the state, I don't mind, I made a lot of mistakes,
came out in 2005 from his album, Come On, Feel the Illinois. Or Illinois, as some people call it. And I would say Chicago, you know, that album is probably in my, top 20 favorite albums of all time, just because it hit me at a certain point in my life. And Sufjan Stevens, I loved at the time. This song, Chicago, first of all, I was born in Chicago. So I have a little, you know, whenever I hear a song or whatever. But the song Chicago by Sufjan Stevens, I think, is kind of the centerpiece, if there is one, on that album, which is 22 tracks long and has, to my mind, about like 5 masterpiece songs on it.
Mm.
Maybe 6. And when I say masterpiece, I think like these songs are awesome. Mm-hmm. And so the song Chicago, it's somewhat autobiographical, but not entirely for him. It's a song about longing. It's a song about wanting more from life. It's a song about wanting to break free of the past and, you know, youthful longing for freedom and new horizons. Yeah. And so and the first words of it are, I fell in love again. All things go. You know, it's almost like,
I love it.
As if falling in love, it's like you already see that there's going to be an end to it.
Yeah.
You know?
Things so, fall apart. The center doesn't hold. Yeah.
Exactly. And I think that the song itself, it's got this kind of majestic feel. It's got like, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum. It's got this thing, and choruses are singing, and there are trumpets playing, and it's all like, I'm going to go out and be somebody. And it's basically about, I think he's actually leaving. He drives to Chicago, but then he goes to New York. And when he goes to New York, he's got this little verse. He says, I guess they pull over and he starts crying from emotion. So if I was crying in the van with my friend, it was for freedom from myself and from the land. And then he goes on and says, I made a lot of mistakes. Kind of over and over. And later in the song, it becomes this undercurrent where you can hear him saying, I made a lot of mistakes, even while he's kind of longing for new life. I found a quote. I forget from where. He says, I've had quite a few exceptional and traumatic experiences in Illinois. A few times when visiting Chicago at a particularly difficult time in my life, or driving cross country and being pulled over by the cops just outside Peoria. He also saw his first rock show in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Sufjan also cited the poem Chicago by Carl Sandburg as an influence on the track. And so, because Sandburg is from Chicago, and he also wanted to include on Illinois a track about Saul Bellow, who also is kind of has a Chicago, maybe is originally from there or writes about it.
Yeah.
He couldn't find a way to figure that out. So it's very much part of him and his story. He's got a little myth going on of his own. Like, I don't quite know Sufjan Stevens' life, except now it turns out he's gay after all.
Oh.
His latest album is called Javelin, and he had a partner who died, I guess.
Wow.
And I always sort of thought he was gay, but I thought, well, I shouldn't think that way just because he's got a soft voice and it's very poetic and and occasionally talks about kissing boys. But, you know, but there's just he's got this big souled thing. You know, he's got the feels. That's Chicago by Sufjan Stevens. You got to listen to it.
Okay, so I am constructing my top five as if I was doing a road trip across the country.
Oh, you're so smart.
Yes.
God.
And I wanted to pick places that I had some kind of history with, like places that I had been before, you know, or something like that, or driven through before, or that had some kind of, you know, resonance with my life. I am kicking things off with The Streets of Bakersfield by Buck Owens.
You don't know me, but you don't like me. You say you care less how I feel. How many of you that sit and judge me ever walk the streets of Bakersfield?
Wow.
Now, you probably, if you've ever heard this song, you probably heard the Dwight Yoakam version because he covered it later on. But Buck Owens originally wrote it. And this, I picked this for a couple of reasons. One is because when I was very little, growing up in near Greensboro, North Carolina, Hee Haw was a show that would come on Saturday nights. And it was almost like appointment viewing me and my family. And it was always hosted by Roy Clark, you know, amazing guitarist and banjo player, Roy Clark, and Buck Owens. And so it took me a while to think of these guys as musicians and not as like countrified Saturday Night Live hosts, you know, like the Hee Haw TV show.
Sure.
But this song in particular, because I've driven through Bakersfield, but there's also lyrics that tie it to San Francisco. He's got some lyrics in here where he says, spent some time in San Francisco. I spent a night there in the can. They threw this drunk man in my jail cell. I took $15 from that man.
Oh,
but the chorus is what everybody probably knows, which is, you don't know me, but you don't like me. You say you care less how I feel, but how many of you that sit and judge me ever walk the streets of Bakersfield? I can tell you, I've driven through Bakersfield, California. It's really small. It's not something that I would like. I remember driving through it and thinking, oh, this is it. This is all there is to Bakersfield. You know, we can see someone, but not really know their story. And not really know what makes them tick. And we think that we know what Bakersfield is because we drive through it and we see a bunch of strip malls and stuff. But there's actually probably a little bit more to it and more to what make the people there who they are. And I just love that idea that, like, you know, even when you're on these road trips or even when you think that you have a sense of a place, you probably never really fully know it.
Well done, Greg. Wow. Thank you. Bakersfield's not nowhere. There's an Episcopal church in Bakersfield. I love that you're doing a road trip with your songs. I am very much not doing that. I just thought, can I narrow this down to five songs that I love? So these are five songs I love. So the second song is by a band called The Decembrists. And it's called Los Angeles, I'm Yours.
But oh, the smell of burnt cocaine, the dollar and decay, it only makes me cranky. Oh, great calamity, ditch of iniquity, and how I abhor this place, it's
and it came out in 2003 on their album Her Majesty the Decembrists. And the Decembrists, oh gosh, who is in the Decembrists? Colin, what's his name? Here's where my skills of research fall short. Colin Malloy. Nice. And I've seen them in concert, and it was great. It was a great concert. So Colin Malloy of the Decembrists, he wrote this song, Los Angeles, I'm Yours, in 2003. And it is so kind of harsh. It's harsh on Los Angeles. I'm going to read you some of the lyrics. There is a city by the sea, a gentle company. I don't suppose you want to. And as it tells its sorry tale in harrowing detail, its hollowness will haunt you. Its streets and boulevards, orphans and oligarchs, it hears. A plaintive melody, truncated symphony, an ocean's garbled vomit on the shore. Nope. Los Angeles, I'm yours.
Yikes.
I know. It's really kind of sassy. And so, you know, the LA Times, of all places, did a little piece on the song like 3 years after it came out. And this guy, Jeff Boucher, this is a little quote from the article. He says, and this is in the song, mocking women whose underwear peaks out above their waistlines and snidely explaining how the smell of burnt cocaine makes me cranky. Lead singer lyricist Colin Malloy sounds like a pinched-nose poet trapped in a Baroque bordello.
Oh, wow.
The idea for the song came to him during his band's first tour of LA 4 years ago. The reason? I couldn't stand the place. And so he hated it, so he writes this song about it. But then what happened is he starts playing it in concert, and including in LA, and the people in LA start singing along with him. And so that kind of made him... that made him warm to them. You know, he said, oh, they're kind of in on it, you know, because I think the thing about LA is it's always considered in, you know, in pop culture as this fake place,
right?
Where, you know, plastic dreams come true and everyone's shallow. And it's obviously more than that, but there's sort of not a center to it from what I can tell. I mean, there's obviously where the skyscrapers are, but I always feel a little sense of LA is just this huge, expansive thing. I don't even know where it technically begins or ends, because I lived in Long Beach, just south of there, for almost 4 years.
Yeah.
And I didn't really have a sense of what it was as a city. So I think the lyrics are just hilarious. And the song is good, too. It's a good pop song.
That is hilarious. Do you think that, like, that raises a couple of questions for me? Do you think that Michael Stipe or R.E.M. sing Don't Go Back to Rockville in Rockville? Like, do you think they've ever done that? And do the people there take pride in the fact that there's a hit song that talks about how people hate their town?
I imagine if you're an R.E.M. fan and you hear that song, yeah, you're going to sing it and you're going to be proud. Kind of, it's built in if you're a fan and they sing about you, right?
Yeah, I guess that's the LA. I mean, that's sort of the LA vibe, right? Like, I mean, it's bad press, but you know, at least he's talking about LA.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Don't go back to Rockville. Yeah, you know, the crowds are roaring. Or I don't know how big Rockville. I don't think Rockville's very big, but you know.
No, it's just like right outside of DC or something, isn't it? I don't remember.
Oh, Rockville, Maryland.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I think it was, you know, they would do those, that sort of southern loop that I think would go up, you know, it would go up to like around DC and stuff. And I think that was one of their towns. But no, I was just thinking of like, you know, people in LA claiming this song is like an anthem. It's like, I mean, that's a saying in LA, right? Any press is good press.
Not just in LA, but especially in LA. Yes.
That's
yes.
Right.
What's your second choice?
Okay. My next stop on the road trip, we've traveled very far because I couldn't find very many desert songs. Well, I mean, there are a lot of desert songs, but none that I wanted to pick. So my next song is Amarillo by Morning by George Strait.
Amarillo by morning, up from San Antonio.
thing that I got is just what I've got on. I ain't got a dime, but what I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be.
Another country song. Here's what I can tell you about Amarillo, because I didn't get there at morning, but I did get there in the afternoon. Amarillo, or right outside Amarillo, is where the Cadillac Ranch is. Cadillac Ranch, if you've never seen it, are like, I think it's 8 Cadillacs that are buried halfway into the Texas desert along the side of the interstate. And you can pull off to the side of the road and you can walk out to these Cadillacs, these buried cars that are lined up along the road. And there's cans of spray paint that are out there. So you can like spray paint your initials or art or, you know, graffiti or whatever while you're out there. If you've never been to the Cadillac Ranch, you should check it out if you're ever around Amarillo. One thing that I didn't appreciate when I was out there scrounging around for paint cans, though, is that apparently that's there's a large population of rattlesnakes that live in that area. So just be careful. I was kind of all over the place. Did not think about rattlesnakes at all, but I'm not a Texan, so maybe I should have. Yeah. Been more aware. Anyway, Amarillo by Morning is George Strait's, what would you call it? Like a rodeo song, I guess, right? So it's about a man who rides from town to town, hitting the rodeo circuit. He's got a section in the song where he's like, they took my saddle in Houston. I broke my leg in Santa Fe. I lost my wife and a girlfriend somewhere along the way. You know, great country song, right? Great stuff. But for me, the real kicker for the song is the part that comes at the end, that he sort of saves for the end of, like, you know, he's sort of, you've suffered with him on this sort of rodeo circuit the whole way. And he has this little bit in the chorus where he says, Amarillo by morning, up from San Antone, everything that I've got is just what I've got on. I ain't got a dime, but what I got is mine. I ain't rich, but Lord, I'm free. Amarillo by morning, Amarillo's where I'll be. And I gotta say, like, you know, I am an idealist. I'm a romantic at heart. I don't have to be rich as long as I can do what I want to do. And so Amarillo by morning is my next one.
That's two songs in a row I've never heard. You're going to have to make a mixtape.
Yeah, I get it. I got it. I'm trying to think. I think I may have one more country song. Like I said, like a lot of the songs that I think of when I think of American music, I just always, especially songs that have towns in their title, it seem to be country songs for me.
Sure, sure. Well, Amarillo is such a great name.
Yes, it is a great.
And actually, it means yellow in Spanish. Amarillo. Mm-hmm. Now that I think of it, I never thought of that. And it sounds like armadillo.
It does, and there are lots of dead armadillos on the interstate as you're driving up to the Cadillac Ranch in Amarillo. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so it was a good experience for you to go to the Cadillac Ranch.
I went there twice. I went there once with my wife driving to California and once with my best friend driving back from California. So, yeah, I've been there twice. Okay.
Well, I, for one, am glad you didn't lose your wife on the way to Amarillo.
I think Bruce Springsteen wrote a song about the Cadillac Ranch.
Yeah, it's called Cadillac Ranch. What do you know?
I'm sure you saw it in Broadway.
Did we ever tell you, Liz and I, we saw Bruce Springsteen on Broadway? Oh man, my third song, it's a cover song, and I think I mentioned it in our covers episode last time. But it got cut. It was on the cutting room floor. So it's come back for another reveal here. It's such a great song. It's called Tecumseh Valley. And it was originally written by Townes Van Zandt in, I think, 1969. But the version that I know and the version I would put forth for our, hypothetical Spotify mix is by Nancy Griffith.
The name she gave was Caroline, daughter of a miner, and her ways were free, and it seemed to me the sunshine walked beside her.
I don't know if you heard of Nancy Griffith. She's sort of a folky country kind of, maybe more kind of new folk singer. And she put out, actually don't know her music that well, except for these two CDs she put out. The first one in 1993, Other Voices, Other Rooms, which is the title of a Truman Capote short story collection. But she does covers of her favorite old Americana songs, or country or folk songs. And then the other CD of hers is called Other Voices Too. But Tecumseh Valley, originally by Townes Van Zandt, she covers, and there's a man singing with her. I don't know who that is, but it's beautiful. It's sad. It's wistful. It's basically about, I think Tecumseh Valley is in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. But it's about a young girl with her father. Her father was a miner, but times are hard. And so she has to kind of go over the mountain and find work in Spencer. And she tends bar at Gypsy Sally's, right? And then she saves enough to go back home because she missed her father. But then she finds out he's died. And she kind of loses her, it's a sad song. She loses kind of her will to live. And then she becomes a prostitute, as sometimes happens, and just kind of wastes her life away in sadness. And the very last, this is a little dark, but the name she gave, like, you don't know if that's her name, but the name she gave was Caroline, daughter of a miner, and her ways were free, and it seemed to me the sunshine walked behind her or beside her.
Mm.
She came from Spencer across the hill. She set her pod center because the coal was low and soon the snow would turn the skies to winter. She comes looking for work, et cetera, finds out he's died, kind of loses her will to live, turns to prostitution. And then the last verse is like, they found her down beneath the stairs that led to Gypsy Sally's. And in her hands when she died was a note that cried, fare thee well, Tecumseh Valley.
Mm.
And then it goes back. It's kind of almost like, so that's sad enough, right? She's like, fare thee well. Then it goes back to the name she gave was Caroline, daughter of a miner, and her ways were free. And it seemed to me the sunshine walked beside her, which is like, that was that person when she was young, she was so lovely and vibrant and could have, really been this special thing, but circumstances kind of, pound her down and wear her down, and she's poor and there's tragedy. And, that's a real, to me, I mean, Townes Van Zandt, and the way the song goes too, it's just this kind of spare song. It's a gut punch. And obviously, I don't know. I grew up in cities. I grew up in the North, and I know there are lots of people who live like this, to this day,
mm-hmm.
Working class, barely making ends meet, having to do what they have to do to survive. Little kids who are so bright and full of life kind of get whittled down if, the circumstances are bad. And that's it. Not to get a downer going, but it's a great song. Tecumseh Valley, Nancy Griffith's cover of a Townes Van Zandt song. And he's a legend. He's like a, I don't know what to call him, sort of like an alternative folk music legend kind of guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just gonna go straight to number three if that's all right. I am picking Memphis, Tennessee by Chuck Berry.
Long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee.
not because I really have any kind of connection to Memphis. I've driven through Memphis twice. I ate at a great chicken place in downtown Memphis. I think on Beale, there was like an amazing like fried chicken place where you got like this huge plate of food for like $5. It was amazing. And I did go to Graceland and did the whole tour with like the headphones. The thing that I remember about Graceland when I was there was that it smelled like a grandmother's home when I was inside. Oh. Like, you know, that sort of mothball-y kind of smell, you know, had like a little bit of Ben Gay kind of smell to it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In Graceland?
Yeah. Yeah. Like in the house itself. The other thing about the house that was really weird is that it's smaller than you would think. Like you walk in and you look to the right and there's the living room and you look to the, you know, and then there's the steps going upstairs. And I think the dining room's to the left, but like you take like just a few steps forward and you're already in the jungle room. Like it's just like straight ahead. And that's like on the back side of the house. I don't know. It's just a very small, it's a lot smaller house than you would think. Anyway. All of this is to say, I'm not picking Memphis, Tennessee for Memphis, Tennessee. I'm picking it because it was written by Chuck Berry, and I lived in St. Louis for 3 years, and Chuck Berry is St. Louis, and it is St. Louis music. As a matter of fact, while I was living in St. Louis, Chuck was still playing weekly shows at Blueberry Hill Bar. And you could just go see Chuck Berry play music. I mean, it was just phenomenal to me. I was living in town and I was like, you've got to be kidding me. You have like a guy who invented rock and roll and actually kind of invented like a bunch of what we know of modern day country music, just kind of hanging out in a little bar in St. Louis. It was just wild to me. Chuck Berry, you know, obviously had some issues. And the thing about Memphis, Tennessee is that he, like I said before, you know, when I think about city songs, what I think about are kind of blues, and Memphis, Tennessee has a little bit of blues kind of quality to it. But of all his storytelling songs, it's the one song that kind of has, it kind of pulls the rug out from under you because, you know, I think most people know the song, you know, like long distance information, give me Memphis, Tennessee, help me find a party that tried to get in touch with me. She didn't leave a number, but I know who placed the call because my uncle took a message and he wrote it on the wall, you know, all of that stuff. But what you ultimately learn at the end of the song, you think that he's singing about some long lost love who's trying to get back in touch with him, but it's his daughter, right? It's this broken home situation. Where his wife, you know, his wife takes his daughter and leaves him, and they're still down in Memphis, Tennessee, and his daughter is trying to call him. And so that's why, you know, at the end of the song, you know, it's that, help me information, more than that I cannot add, only that I miss her and all the fun we had. Marie is only 6 years old. Information, please, you got to put me through to her in Memphis, Tennessee. It's the sort of desperation, you know, to reconnect with a child. And you would, you know, it's just such a kind of fun song that if you weren't paying attention to the lyrics, you would probably miss the heartbreak that's underneath it. Most people probably know the Johnny Rivers version. I think that that's probably the more popular version, but Chuck Berry's is really good, and he wrote it, and so I would say my pick is Memphis, Tennessee, but it's really a pick for Chuck Berry and all of the amazing music that came out of St. Louis while I was living there.
Okay, terrific. Thank you. You know, there are so many songs with place names.
Yeah.
Like hundreds, even as you talk. I mean, it just makes me think of all these others. So I love it. I mean, I love it. Well, you have just segued nicely, or given me a great segue to my fourth pick by mentioning the name of that child.
Oh.
Because my fourth pick is called Lake Marie by John Prine.
What?
Marie! I know. So
John Prine, I mean, you know, I didn't know John Prine that well. And then he died of COVID.
Yeah.
And I just started exploring him a little bit. You know, I don't know all the songs, but some of these songs are just great. I mean, some of them are just, they're so different from everything that I know. I mean, like, not crazy different, but so Lake Marie came out in 1995 on an album called Lost Dogs and Mixed Blessings. This is one of those Americana kind of mythical songs. So Lake Marie, it's a real place. It's on the southern border of Wisconsin, almost to Illinois. There's something called the Twin Lakes, Wisconsin. And it's Lake Marie and Lake Elizabeth. So the song Lake Marie is, it's just great. I don't know how much of it is totally true, but he starts out talking about how he says many years, and he speaks it. You know, the refrain is sung, but then he speaks.
Many years ago, along the Illinois-Wisconsin border, there was this Indian tribe. They found two babies in the woods, white babies. One of them was named Elizabeth. She was the fairer of the two, while the smaller and more fragile one was named Marie. Having never seen white girls before, and living on the two lakes, known as the Twin Lakes, they named the larger and more beautiful lake, Lake Elizabeth. And thus the smaller lake that was hidden from the highway became known forever as Lake Marie.
So it's like this mythical kind of foundation story about how these lakes came to be named. And then in the next verse, he's talking about his own relationship with someone. Many years later, I found myself talking to this girl who was standing there with her back turned to Lake Marie. The wind was blowing, especially through her hair. There was four Italian sausages cooking on the outdoor grill, and they were sizzling, he says. And then he marries her. He says, many years later, we found ourselves in Canada trying to save our marriage and perhaps catch a few fish. And so it's almost like he's creating this story about this place in which these kind of eventful things happen, right? The two little babies are found. It's named. He has a tie to it personally because he meets his wife there. And then they go back later in the song to kind of recapture their love kind of thing. But then this weird thing happens, and there's a verse about like how there were two bodies found there naked, and he saw it on the news, he said, on the TV news. And it's all this stuff that happens there. And he says, oh, and it was in a black and white video. And do you know what blood looks like in a black and white video? Shadows. That's what it looks like. And then he says, all the love we shared between her and me was slammed up against the banks of old Lake Marie. So it's all this weird. It's like this mythical song, all these different things that happen there, like violence and death, relationship and life, foundational mythical stuff. And it's a great song. It's like a, we were standing by peaceful waters. It's fantastic. It grows on you. And it's also just a little mysterious, like, who are the dead bodies? Like, what's that about?
Yeah.
And I think what he's just sort of creating a mood for a place by telling these different things that happened there over time. And isn't that true of every place? And especially a place that's more rural, you know? Oh, I remember the storm of 54 when all these shacks you see here now, they were swept away. They were beautiful houses, and now they're shacks or whatever, right?
Yeah.
It's, you got to listen to that song, Greg. So what's your fourth?
Yeah, I'm gonna keep this one real short because I really don't have like a connection to this, but it's Smoky Mountain Rain by Ronnie Milsap.
Smoky Mountain Rain, Smoky keeps Mountain on calling. I keep on calling her name. Smoky Mountain Rain, Smoky I'll keep Mountain on searching. Rain. I can't go on hurting this way.
Another country song, I know. So Ronnie Millsap was kind of like the blind country singer when I was a kid. Like that was what sort of differentiated him from everybody else. But that's the main thing about it is the when I was a kid part. When I was growing up, like there was always sort of country music playing in North Carolina and stuff like that. You would have like really cool stuff like Leon Russell or Emmylou Harris, but a lot of times, you know, it was sort of old like 70s country guys would be what was going on. So, you know, Willie Waylon, oh, Charlie Pride, people like that, right, would be on the radio all the time.
Right.
And Smoky Mountain Rain was like one of those songs that was in heavy rotation on country radio when I was growing up. I can't quite explain it, but for whatever reason, the kids that I lived with in the area where I grew up, it was not unusual to hear like Mandrell Sister songs, you know, being sung or something like that. It's just where we were and what we were listening to. But the song itself, I think is really pretty, but it's, you know, it's one of these classic country songs of like a guy goes off to LA to try to make a fortune in, I guess, the country music business or something. It doesn't work out. And so he's going to come back home to the wife that he left behind, but it turns out that she's gone. And ooh. So the chorus is what? Smoky Mountain Rain keeps on falling. I'll keep on calling her name. Smoky Mountain Rain, I'll keep on searching. I can't go on hurting this way. She's somewhere in that Smoky Mountain Rain. And I think it's the way that the words work, I think, feels really evocative. You know, there's nothing smoky about the Smoky Mountains, but you sort of have this image of like, you know, this sort of like cloudy mountain with the rain coming down. It reminds me of, you know, 7-year-old Greg singing 70s country songs. So Smoky Mountain Rain is my fourth pick.
Greg, I want 7-year-old Greg singing country songs back. Bring him back. That's great. You know, I know that song, and when you were saying the lyrics, I remembered. I knew I sort of knew it.
Yeah.
That's quite a deep cut, as they say.
It is a deep cut. Yeah.
Okay, we should probably go on. I just I don't know. I'm just picturing you singing country songs. I mean, I just picture you now as kind of urbane Greg.
Oh, like, well, you know, I don't know about that.
you're kind of, you're hip and cool. And,
yeah, by the time I got to high school, it was all grunge and depression. And then like a smattering of They Might Be Giants are thrown in just to break things up. Yeah,
that's right. You saw They Might Be Giants.
I did. Yeah, I've seen them a few times.
And OK Go introduced themselves to you.
OK Go from Chicago.
While you were in line.
We're down to your last song.
We are. I think if you were to like find all the place name songs, at least American ones, probably 65-70% would be sad songs.
Yeah, probably. You know? Yeah.
Right? Because there's just something about tying a song to a place. It's about loss or longing or hope or, you know, dreams deferred or she's way over there or he's way over there and I'm here kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Or about memory, right? Like what is it that makes it stand out in your memory? And it's usually something bad or tragic.
It is. There are a few exceptions like San Francisco. If you're going to San Francisco, wear flowers in your hair. Okay. That's happy.
Well, Journey, right? When the lights go down in the city and the sun shines on the bay.
Exactly.
Yeah.
New York, New York. If I can make it there, you know, start spreading the news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I've got a couple in my honorable mentions that I think are celebratory songs. Yeah.
Oh, are we allowed honorable mentions?
I'm just going to go through a really fast honorable mention list. Yeah.
All right. Well, I tell you, I got a little burned on our last.
I know.
Yeah. I had all these honorable mentions and I talked about them and I get it. There was no time. So, you know, Greg, I deleted my list of 40 place name songs, and I whittled it down to 5 because I thought, well, I don't want to get my hopes up. And now here you are saying, oh, we got an honorable mention list. Nice way to twist it. Okay. My final pick is an homage to you, actually. Well, it was chosen with you in mind. It is, in fact, a song written by Patty Griffin.
Oh.
On her 2004 album, Impossible Dream, and it's called Florida.
Oh.
Couple of young girls went sailing down A1A to the arms of Florida, sailing down a highway, singing their heads off, protected by the Holy Ghost, flying in from the ocean, driving with their eyes closed.
It's a beautiful song. Patty Griffin has a gorgeous voice. She is an unsung hero. I got to see her in concert in L.A., and she was fabulous. And I've seen her at the Hardly Strictly Bluegrass Festival, I think, as well, in San Francisco. And it starts out kind of la 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 la. You think it's going to be kind of sweet. I'm just going to read a couple of the lyrics, and that'll give you a sense of what it's about. Couple of young girls went sailing down A1A into the arms of Florida, sailing down the highway, singing their heads off, protected by the Holy Ghost, flying in from the ocean, driving with their eyes closed. The night wants to kiss you deep and be on his way, pretend that he don't know you the very next day. Isn't it hard sometimes? Isn't it lonely? How I still hang around here. There's nothing to hold me. So my sense of the song is that it's a very poetical song. It's not a straight narrative, but as she says, a couple of young girls, they go down to Florida. They're all sassy and, you know, they're like yelling and they're smoking and this and that, and they're going to just conquer Florida. And somehow along the way, it all turns and they're kind of stuck there. You know, she kind of gets stuck there. You know, you want the night just to let you sleep and be on his way, wrap you up in some cool sheets and have nothing to say. And then again, isn't it hard sometimes and lonely how I still hang around here? There's nothing to hold me. Part of the beauty of the song is how she sings it. You know, that voice and how the words go, and it goes loud and it gets soft. And there's just regret all over the place. Someone you never meet signs the check you get every week. You try and still can't forget all the strangers that you have met. It's like this anonymity, this way of like not connecting. I mean, she ties it to Florida. I don't imagine that's how it is there. But if you don't know Patty Griffin, listeners, you need to get yourself Impossible Dream on Spotify and listen to it all the way through. And also 1,000 Kisses, which is fantastic. So Florida, in honor of you, Greg, but awesome. May your life not be like this.
Yeah. You know, Florida has, I guess it's probably not, it's not dissimilar from like what you were saying about LA before, where it's like, I don't know where LA starts and where it ends and stuff like that. Like, there's an aspect of California that, you know, the LA scene contains in it, like this Anaheim region and Disneyland and all of that stuff. And Florida strikes me as something similar. There's something that's supposedly supposed to be like happy at the core of this place, but everything around it is just a little sad. And, you know, it's like, it's a lot of drug culture. It's a lot of like trafficking culture. It's a lot, you know, it's just like a lot of, you know, Florida stuff. And then, of course, obviously the politics stuff. Yeah, it's like this place that's constantly like trying to sell itself as something that it's not, you know. It's like, oh, wow, what a happy, fun, sunshine place. And it's like, yeah, it's not really, right? Like, this is where people were going to get like OxyContin because there were you know, pharmacists just writing prescriptions to anybody who walked in off the street.
So. Yeah. And isn't there some Florida effect, like a like weird Florida stories of the Florida man or something? And
oh, yeah. Yeah. I actually looked into that. I was like, why is that a thing? It turns out it's because all Florida police reports are automatically public, like anything that gets investigated is on public record. And that's not true for a lot of states. So any little weird thing that results in some kind of police investigation automatically goes to like the public wire. If you're just monitoring, you know, the press reports out of Florida, you'll find some kind of crazy story about a guy in an alligator, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting reported. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Florida's kind of it's a place.
Yeah, I think that it's a cautionary tale of what happens when you think that libertarianism is a good idea. It's not, as it turns out.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny you should mention Florida. My final pick is the song Miami by my favorite band, The Counting Crows. See, look what I did just there, Ricardo. I took a road trip from California to Florida, and I ended in a Florida town, but a Bay Area band singing about
it. Whoa.
That's what we call full circle right there.
That is impressive. Now, the only thing more impressive is if Buck Owens were from Florida. That's great.
I would love to see a Buck Owens and Counting Crows, you know, double bill. That would be amazing. Yeah, so their song Miami is from their fourth album, Hard Candy, that came out back in 2002. It's an okay song. I would say I picked it because it was the Florida song that I could think of, and it was a Counting Crows song that I could think of. So there's no real like great meaning behind it. As a matter of fact, like all Counting Crows songs, it's pretty much just about Adam Duritz breaking up with a girlfriend, which is like every Counting Crows song. But this one has a bit of a twist on it, which is that, you know, he's singing about being in Miami, I guess, with the band, you know, like he's. And so he talks about being in Miami and he's waiting for his girlfriend to fly in. And what he realizes as he's waiting for her to fly into town is that he's surrounded by, like, you know, this beautiful skyline and all of this light and all of this stuff. But he can't see it. Like, all he can see is darkness. Right. So he says in the first verse, the sundown paints the shadows through the daylight, Amy, on what we do. It looks like darkness to me, drifting down into Miami. So it's about this guy who's waiting for his girlfriend to show up. And what he realizes as he's waiting for her to show up is that their relationship is ending and it will likely be over soon. Ultimately, they're going to, like a, you know, like the touring band that they are, they're going to pick up and move on. So the final verse is, the bus is running, it's time to leave, the summer's gone, and so are we. So come on, baby, let's go shut it down in New Orleans. Right? So it's this idea that, like, you know what, we're not in a good place, we're ultimately going to break up, but let's have one last party together on the road to another town, right? And Anyway, I love Counting Crows. I really love that album, Hard Candy. I was looking at all the other songs that are on it just now, and it's really good. So Miami by Counting Crows is my last pick.
All right, what's next?
I have very quick honorable mentions, and that's this list. Cleveland Summer Nights, which I mentioned on a popping playlist one time by Wink Burcham. Looking Back Texas with Willie and Waylon. Always love that song. Tennessee by Arrested Development. Every time I drive through Tennessee, the song Tennessee gets stuck in my head. Take me to another place. Take me to another land. I love it. Empire State of Mind by Alicia Keys and Jay-Z. Talk about triumphant New York songs. That's a very triumphant New York song. And California Love by Tupac and Dre.
Hello.
Like, it just always feels like California to me. Every time that song comes on, I'm instantly in the state of California. So, yeah.
Wow. All right. I get to do an honorable mentions list too.
Okay.
There are two songs called there's Albuquerque by Nick Cave, which is a gorgeous song about loss, I think. And then there's a not great song called Point Me in the Direction of Albuquerque by the Partridge Family, which is that's the sort of song you don't want to know the lyrics to because it's not so good. By the Time I Get to Phoenix by Glenn Campbell.
Oh.
Wichita Lineman, also by Glenn Campbell, but originally written by Jimmy Webb. And then The Night Chicago Died by Paper Lace from like 1972. I grew up singing that song because I lived in Chicago. And Arizona, I can't remember who it's, Mark Lindsay. Arizona. And the Indian Reservation song, The Lament of the Cherokee Reservation Indian. Oh. You remember Cherokee people, yeah. Mm-hmm. Cherokee tribe, New York State of Mind, Billy Joel. Oh, San Francisco, Scott McKenzie, the aforementioned song. Romulus by Sufjan Stevens about a town in Michigan. There's so many good songs.
Yeah. Well, dear listener, those are our top five songs each. What are your top five songs? Email us. Let us know. Even if it's just Liz and Betsy emailing us, that's fine. Just email us.
That's right.
Shoot me an email, Liz. Let me know what your top five city songs are. They're all Nebraska songs, I can tell you. All
right. Well, there is the song Nebraska, actually. That's Bruce Springsteen. Did we ever tell you that we saw and Atlantic City by Bruce Springsteen, another honorable mention.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
All right. All right. That's enough.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us for another PC Music Diary. We will see you next time with a whole new top five list and a whole new topic.
And until then, keep those collars pop.